Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise God indeed. Hope everyone's doing well. What a beautiful week the Lord's given us. Just want to just worship the Lord. And just all of you watching on live feed, we just welcome you to First Pentecostal in Villa Rica. Make yourself at home. We're going to stand now. I ask y'all to stand if you can. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer this evening. Just thank the Lord for His many, many blessings. Does anyone on my right side have a spoken prayer request tonight? All righty. Anyone on the left side with a spoken prayer request tonight in the congregation? Well, praise the Lord. Praise God. In the back? Absolutely. Absolutely.
Sister Benita's dad still needs prayer. He's home from the hospital, but they're having some difficulty getting his medicine, so she put on the Facebook today that he still needs prayer, so let's keep him in the prayer.
Sister Wendy Till texted me and said that the kids, I guess all of them excluding Emily and Logan, are sick again, and please pray for them.
Absolutely. And I know with the text blast, I know Brother Keith sent out a text this morning asking for prayer. If you have an unspoken prayer request, just show by the raising. We're just going to take it to the Lord with faith. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just praise Your holy name. Lord, we thank You, dear Lord, for the opportunity You've given us to gather together in Your house and in Your name. Dear Lord, as we come to You, dear Lord, we just want to worship You. We want to lift You up and honor You with everything that we say or do in this service tonight, dear Lord. But most of all, dear Lord, we're excited about the message You have for us tonight. We're excited as we get an opportunity to gather together with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, for all those watching on the live feed tonight or at a later date, Lord, may they also feel Your holy presence, dear Lord, and know their prayer requests in each and every situation we're placing in Your hands. Lord, we know You can touch those that have asked for prayer, those spoken and unspoken. Lord, we're asking You to heal, to mend, to protect. Lord, with families that are sick, dear Lord, touch the little ones. Lord, touch those sickness in the house, dear Lord. For those going through procedures, dear Lord, or even in recovery mode, dear Lord, we just thank You for Your many blessings and ask You to just keep Your hand of protection on each and every one of us. Lord, again, we just give You all the honor and glory. We ask You to bless our pastor and his family, strengthen them, dear Lord, in there as they go about Your work, dear Lord. And we now ask that You'll be with each and every ministry that goes forth from our church, dear Lord. Just continue just to use it for Your benefit, dear Lord. We give You all the honor and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody says,
amen.
Amen, amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Praise God. Praise the Lord. While you're standing, this is an old favorite of mine. Let's go to Victory in Jesus. Praise the Lord. I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how He gave His life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about His groaning, of His precious blood atoning. Then I repented of my sin and won the victory. Amen. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He saw me and He bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is due Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about His healing, of His cleansing power revealing, how He made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me a victory.
Thank You, Lord.
Oh, victory
on me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is through Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about a mansion is built for me in glory, and I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story, and some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is due Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior. Bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is due Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
Amen. Hallelujah. Just praise the Lord. You may be seated if you can. We're going to go ahead and take up the evening offering. Just want to also, in a spoken prayer request, just remember, and I was just talking to the grandkids. They're so excited about school ending, and I know we got a lot of graduations coming up, and we've got all the other things. There'll be a lot of people hitting the road, so let's keep our young people during this time, keep them in our prayers, and for all those that are families as we get together. I know we're still a couple of weeks away, but I just, after listening to them, and I know they're excited about going to Virginia here as soon as they're out of school. So just want to ask the Lord to protect all the young ones as they're in school, even the older ones. We had a niece that graduated from college Saturday, and I know they were all on the road as soon as they graduated from what I heard. Praise the Lord. Brother Bitsy, if you would, just ask the Lord to bless this offering tonight, please. Yes, Lord. Amen. I got carried away. I'll do better.
It's up to me which path I'm gonna take. We've only got one life to get it right. But even though I make mistakes, I'm perfect in His sight. When I deserve the least, that's when He loves me most. Each time I drifted far away, He's always led me home. And when I turn my back on Him, He's always held out hope. When I deserve the least, that's when He loves me most. When I have temptation stare me in the face, I should have turned my head. I went stumbling down that road a time or two, but each time I came limping back, You let me lean on You. When I deserve the least, that's when He loves me most. Each time I drifted far away, He's always led me home. And when I turn my back on Him, He's always held out hope. When I deserve the least, that's when He loves me most. And when I turn back on Him, He's always held out hope. When I deserve the least, that's when He loves me most.
I forgot to request prayer for my beautician. She had foot surgery a couple of days ago, and y'all pray for her to be back on her feet before it's time for me to have my appointment, because I can't wait long to have my appointment. So, but no, really pray for her, because it was supposed to be very hurtful. So I told her I'd say prayer for her, and I wanted y'all to pray for her too.
Dear Lord, I'll be a witness if You will help my weakness. I know that I'm not worthy, Lord, of Thee. By eyes of faith I see Thee upon the cross of Calvary. Dear Lord, I cry, let me Thy servant be. Jesus, use me, and oh Lord, don't refuse me. For surely there's a work that I can do. Lord, help my will to crumble. Though the cost be great, I'll work for you. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He's the beautiful rose of Sharon. He's all the world to me. But most of all, he is my coming King. Jesus, use me. And oh Lord, don't refuse me. For surely there's a work that I can do. And even though it's humble, Lord, help my will to crumble. Though the cost be great, I'll work for you. I'll stand for thee, dear Jesus, though death may come my way. I'll spread the gospel to the fallen here. But if it be thy will, Lord, to go across the sea, Lord, help me to be willing to say yes. Jesus, use me. And oh Lord, don't refuse me. For surely there's a work that I can do. And even though it's humble, Lord, help my will to crumble. Though the cost be great, I'll work for you.
You know, there's a song that Sister Jennifer sings that says, if it concerns you, it serves the Lord. It concerns the Lord. So, Sister Susan, I want you to know that God is concerned about your hairdresser. So, y'all worship the Lord as I try to sing an old song. It just simply says, who am I? Of how he came so far from glory, came and dwelt among the lowly, such as I, to suffer shame and such disgrace. On Mount Calvary, take my place. Then he asked myself this question, who am I? Who am I that a king would bleed and die for? Who am I that he would pray, not my will, thine Lord? The answer I may never know. Why ever cross he go, for who am I? When I'm reminded of his words, I'll leave you never. If you'll be true, I'll give to you life forever. Oh, I wonder what I could have done to deserve God's only Son. To fight my battles till they're won, for who am I? Who am I that a king would bleed and die for? Who am I that he would pray, not my will, thine, Lord? The answer I may never know, why he ever loved me so, that to an old rugged cross he'd go, for who am I? Who am I that a king would bleed and die for? That he would pray, not my will, thine, Lord. The answer I may never know, why he ever loved me so, that to an old rugged cross he'd go, for who am I?
Not only does he know us, he loves us too, amen. In spite of all of our frailties, of all of our shortcomings, he still loves us so much that he died on the cross of Calvary. Amen. How many is thankful for Jesus? Amen. Praise God. Okay. Let's do G. You know G, honey? Thankful for my wife. Wish I had knobs on her. I could tune her like this. No, I really would. I do. I appreciate my wife. She's we're soon going to have a wedding anniversary. And I even remember the day. I'm not going to share it with you, but I'll tell you a little bit closer to the date. But I'm really appreciative to her. Because of her, I'm twice the man that I was when I married her. In weight, anyway. I get it. Oh, life has been so good, I can't complain. When I'm down, God gives me strength to rise again. But I'm weary from the struggle of it all. So I listen for his call. Heaven sounding sweeter all the time. Seems like lately it's always on my mind. Someday I'll leave this world behind. Heaven is sounding sweeter all the time. I know it's hard to lose a loved one to the grave, but we have the blessed hope that Jesus gave. God's gonna wipe every tear from our eyes when we meet in that land beyond the skies. If you know it, sing it with me. Heaven sounding sweeter all the time. Seems like lately it's always on my mind. Someday I'll leave this world behind. Heaven is sounding sweeter all the time. Someday I'll leave this world behind. And heaven is sounding sweeter all the time. Truly it is sounding sweeter. Sung about heaven, every scripture that we read, every testimony that we hear lets us know that heaven is going to be a glorious place. Our Lord and Savior will be there himself, and it's going to take me an eternity just to thank him, amen, for what he's done for me. Man, if you have your Bibles tonight, we just go for just a little while to the book of Psalms. In the 55th Psalm, one of David's writings here, I'd like to bring to you tonight what I feel the Lord has laid upon my heart. I hope and pray that it will be a blessing. Hope that it will be encouragement to maybe someone who may be facing some situations down here. How many know we're going to face situations? Sometimes on a daily basis. But how many knows that God is going to deliver us out of all of them? Amen. He is a delivering God. In Psalms 55, verses 16, 17, and 18, David writes, "As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. He that delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many with me. He that delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many with me." Dear Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you, God, for your mercy, for your grace, for your abounding love, for this day and this opportunity to gather together tonight, God, with this group of people. Pray, God, that we'd lay aside every weight tonight, God, and just focus on you and your word. Pray, God, that you would just send that message through this vessel tonight. God, anoint these lips of clay, anoint this vessel, Lord. God, is nothing more than a mouthpiece that the Holy Ghost would speak to us, that we might be submissive and obedient to your word and to your will. And Father, we do remember those who are in need of prayer tonight. Many are sick, many are afflicted. Father, we pray, God, that you would reach your healing hand and minister to them. And Father, we pray for the lost and dying in this world today. God, I pray that you would send revival. Pray, God, that you would stir up their hearts, convict their soul, bring them to an altar of repentance, God, before it's everlasting too late. We'll give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. We ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you. You may be seated in the house tonight. What a glory the Lord has given us today. It's been a beautiful, beautiful day. Tonight I want to spend just a little time and speak on peace from the battle. Peace from the battle. How many knows and realizes that we're going to have battles? As long as we're in this body of flesh, there's going to be battles. In fact, many times we find that we have more battles after we've been born again and saved. Amen. Because Satan don't really bug you too much when he's already got you. But when you get born again and you make a commitment and a focus to serve and worship the Lord, the devil's going to try to hinder you any and every way that he possibly can. We often refer to David, and refers to David so much in the Psalms because I personally can relate so much with David and his personal feelings. He did not mind putting his feelings on paper. Sometimes they were not very attractive. I know that he was known as a man after God's own heart, and he wrote the 23rd Psalm and wrote so many encouraging and uplifting Psalms. But there were times when David faced battles himself, and he would begin to pour his heart out on scripture or on paper and begin to write what exactly was going on in his life at that particular time. As good as David was, he failed the Lord several times. How many is thankful that God is a forgiving God, God is a loving God, and God is plenteous in redemption, as David himself found out. So many times we can relate to David as what he writes, and so many times he encourages himself when he begins to write these scriptures. But here he said that there is a peace from the battle. He doesn't specify exactly which battle that it was, but he does give us some kind of information about what this battle was. And how many knows that battle comes in different sizes, different areas, and from different situations? Sometimes battles come from the least expected location. Sometimes we can be sailing along, everything's rosy, the skies are blue, and all of a sudden we're in the midst of a body battle. It could be a spiritual battle, a physical battle, it could be a financial battle, it could be almost any kind of battle that we know of, but we know the instigator. Everybody knows that we have an enemy. There is an adversary. There is one now that's even trying to get your victory, one trying to trip you up, trying to cause stumbling blocks and obstacles in our way as we continue to work for the Lord and live for the Lord. So this is what David said, and he said, you know what, as for me, that's the only person that I can speak of or for is for myself. I am answerable to myself unto the Lord. He said, you know what? And we're going to get into what caused these battles or this particular battle in just a minute. But I want to start at the end. Many times, you know, we eat everything and then we eat the dessert. But I want to start with the dessert tonight and then go back and start maybe with the main course. And the dessert was that he got victory. How many has ever got victory over the battles? That's whatever Satan comes against you. Sooner or later, we know that God is going to prevail. How many knows he is the winner? Amen. And we're going to be winners too as long as we live for the Lord. So I want to start with the dessert. The dessert was that he said, as for me, I will call upon God and the Lord shall save me. I know that whatever I'm facing, I know that whatever the mountain is, I know that God is going to prevail. He has done it before. He's not going to fail me this time. I may have to suffer a while. I may have to go through some situations. But in the end, I know, and every believer ought to know this too, that God is going to be victorious, and we are going to be victorious over that battle and receive peace from that battle. I want you to understand, and I want you to notice, that he did not say that the Lord take me out of this battle or take this battle away from me. He said, give me peace for the battle. Give me peace to endure the battle. Give me strength. Give me fortitude. Give me faith so that I can be an overcomer. He didn't really pray that, Lord, take the battle away from me. He understands that we are in a fight. How many understands and knows that we have an adversary and we're constantly in a fight with this adversary? But don't give up and don't lose hope, because greater is he that is within us than he that is in the world, or he that is against us. So he says, "What is as for me, I'm going to call on the Lord, and I know the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray." Signifying that he is going to pray continuously. You know, many, many times we just pray until we get victory, or we pray until the thing starts to look a little bit better, and then maybe we don't pray as much as we need to. But David said, you know what? I'm going to pray continuously. I'm going to pray in the morning. I'm going to pray in the evening. I'm going to pray at noontime too, every single day. And that's the way that I am going to get peace from this particular battle that is coming against me. And it doesn't matter what the battle is. If it's your battle, it needs some attention too. You know, what may not be bothering somebody else may in fact be a stumbling block to me. What you might consider is, hey, you just need to get over that, may be almost an insurmountable battle that I'm fighting on a daily basis. whatever we face, whatever we have to deal with, it's greater to us than it is to anybody else. They may have their own battles. And David had this particular battle, so much so that he was oppressed about it. He was losing sleep over it. He was having all of these constant problems about it. He was even, questioning his relationship with God. And I know that we as born-again Christians have never questioned our relationship with God. And I say that sarcastically, because if you're like me, many times I'm saying, Lord, where are you? I need you in this situation. What have I done? What's going on in my life? Why is all of this befalling upon me? But David was going through this situation. He said, you know what? I'm just going to have to pray about it. I'm just not going to pray one little prayer and forget it. I'm going to pray in the morning. I'm going to pray at noontime. I'm going to pray in the evening. And I'm going to continue praying until I get victory. Because he said, he shall hear my voice. Now I know that God knows the thoughts of our heart. And I know he knows even when we don't speak a prayer. There's just something that's really gratifying about crying out to the Lord and praying vocally and outwardly and letting the Lord know that, you know, I'm not ashamed, Lord, to pray to you. I'm not ashamed to fall down on my knees. I'm not ashamed to lift up my hands. I'm not ashamed to call on you. I'm not ashamed to tell you I'm in a mess. I'm in a situation. I can't get out of it. I don't know which way to turn. I don't know up from down. I need help. And Lord, I'm calling on you, and I know that you're going to hear me. And not only are you going to hear me, but you're going to deliver me and give me peace from the battle. Peace is something that we need in our life. And only Jesus can give us true peace. The world can't give peace as God does. The Bible even tells that and specifies that, you know, I give you peace not as the world gives peace, but I give you peace as the only that the Lord can give you peace. So he says, then he hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me. Now we might say, David, what was the battle that was against you? And he doesn't really specify exactly, but something troubled him. Something troubled his spirit. During this particular time, I don't know if it was the time that it was actually written, whether he was on the run from Saul, or whether the kingdom was divided, or whether there was just anarchy in the kingdom itself, or maybe it was just something that David had failed to do. He doesn't really specify. And aren't you thankful that you don't have to tell the entire church what your battle is? You just have to say, Lord, I want to bring my battle to you, and I want to receive peace from the battle that I'm going through. So I want us to go back, if we would, to the very first verse in chapter number 55. But get a little insight into what's causing David to be so upset and so frustrated and so almost to the point of just kind of giving up until he decides that the only way out is to go to the Lord in prayer. And I don't know why we often wait until the very last thing to go to the Lord, when that ought to be the very first option that we have. I know we're human, and I know we try to fix things. And I know we try to say, well, I'm not going to let this little thing bother me. I'm just going to, you know, go on about it, you know. But if we'll take it to the Lord first, we'll save ourselves a lot of misery, a lot of pain, and a lot of agony. So in the very first verse, and I'm going to read down through verse number 11, I mean number 7, actually we'll stop at verse 6. So if you want to read along with me, that's fine. If you want to follow along. David writes, give ear to my prayer. You know, the New Testament says it like this, verily, verily. Somebody once said, that means listen up, listen up. Amen. How many times, Lord, I know you're busy, and I know there's a lot of people praying the same time that I'm praying, and I know a lot of people are calling on you, but Lord, I just really needed your undivided attention right now for what I'm going through. Lord, I need you to hear my prayer. How many knows that God is able to hear all of our prayers at the same time and answer those prayers, because he is God. Amen. He is omnipotent. Amen. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication or from my request, from the burden that is laying heavy on my heart. Not only hear it, Lord, but deliver me from this oppression. Attend unto me. Lord, it's me again. That song, I got a problem I can't solve. I know you're mighty busy in your heaven, forming worlds and hanging stars to shine. But you said if I'd ask that you'd receive it. Lord, I just need you to hear my prayer or forgive me one more time. I need you. because, or he said, attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise. Now, the making of the noise meant that he was so engulfed in his self-pity, situation, battle, or whatever it was, he actually groaned and complained. And, you know, we might think it's like this. You know, you can usually tell as you're driving down the road, especially if you're at a four-way stop, who's had a good day and who has a bad day, just by the expression on their face or by the how many times they blow their horn at the four-way stop. You can usually tell that something's wrong with that person. They've had a heavy workload, they're late for work, or they're late for getting home or something like that. David would, in other words, what he was saying, he wasn't hiding his feelings. Something was troubling him. Even those around him knew it. Because not only was he oppressed or depressed, but he was actually vocalizing and making a noise that, you know, and sometimes, it's, you know how it is. Oh, it's me. Everything's going against me. Problems. When's things going to get better? This kind of situation. And he said, because, he tells us here, because of the voice of the enemy. Do you realize that most of our problems, in fact, if not maybe most all of them, come from the same source, the enemy? What might ordinarily not bother us, the enemy gets involved in it, and he makes it bigger than it really is, and all of a sudden it becomes a battle in our life. A battle of sickness, a battle of oppression, a battle of depression, a battle of nerves, a battle of anxiety, a battle of this and a battle of that. All these kinds. See, Satan is not happy unless our life is in some kind of turmoil. Amen. But how many knows we got a greater power? And David realized that too. He said, because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. Makes me think of back when my brother and I was growing up, every time that mother or daddy got on to us or had to whip us, we always said the same thing. They just hate us. You know, they'd send us to our room and we'd be on our bed, you know, and say, they just hate us, you know. And that wasn't the case at all. They didn't hate us. They were just correcting us. But, you know, when you get into that fighting of that battle, you know, it just kind of builds up and all of this thing. And, you know, then you know that the adversary is against you. And you know what? I don't have any love for the adversary whatsoever. I don't believe you need to be nice to him. I don't believe he understands appeasement. I don't believe he understands, please leave me alone. But I tell you what he does understand. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke you, Satan. Get behind me. I'm not messing with you. Get out of my face. Amen. You're not going to get me down today. I'm calling on Jesus. Amen. Because he is my power. And I rebuke you in his name. He'll have to flee from you. Because he's afraid of the name of Jesus. He's not afraid of my name. Not afraid of the church name. But he respects the authority in the name of Jesus. He said, because of the voice, because of the oppression of wicked, they have cast iniquity upon me and wrath. They hate me. My heart is sore pained within me. And the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me. And horror hath overwhelmed me. And I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. And this is where I understand the humanist or the human part of David when he made that statement. Now, I don't know if anyone here has ever had that thought, that when things are so insurmountable around us, we got so many, what is it, irons in the fire. We got so many things going on at one time. You know, it's almost like, I wished I could just get away. You know, either up to the mountains or down to Florida, or like I used to, when I was so frustrated at work, sometimes in my thought, I'm just going to get on I-20 and go west. Wherever it ends, that's where I'm going, you know. But then reality set in, and then you think, well, I can't do that. I got too many responsibilities. And you kind of come back. But the thought was there. And this thing had gotten so big, and it had weighed on David so heavy. Burdens can be heavy, folks, especially when we tote them around all the time. And it had gotten so bad
that he said, you know what? And probably maybe he was walking around and he saw that little dove just flying, just as happy. He said, oh, that I had wings like that dove, that I could just fly away from all of this. Let me tell you something. You'll never be able to fly away from the battle. It'll follow you. Your problems will follow you. Those situations will follow you. The best thing to do is get peace in the battle. Get peace from the battle. Get peace. And the only way you're going to get peace is get stronger in the Lord and say, you know what? The battle's not mine. It belongs to Him. And I give it to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to lay down and go to sleep tonight. And I'm not going to worry about it because God has never failed me. And He's not going to fail me now. He's going to deliver me. How many believes and know that God is still a delivering God in this day and hour that we live in? So he said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. No, that's not the answer to your battle. You can't outrun it. You can't hide from it. You can't just wish it away. The battle is real. I'm not discounting that. The battle is real. Situations are real. Problems are real. But what we need is peace from the battle. Give me strength to endure the battle. Because with Jesus, we already know we're going to win. Imagine going into a battle knowing you're already going to win. I want to share something I heard in a song today. And it's amazing because I was already reading the scripture and I had that song going. And I said, did I hear that right? I wrote it down. It said, don't keep fighting the battle that has already been won. And that was so profound. And that's kind of what David was trying to do. He kept fighting and fighting and fighting the battle, and he finally realized, you know what? The battle's already won. Why don't we go back and try to fight the same old battle? Why don't we go back and try to get deliverance from the same old things that God has already delivered us from, and we know that we're delivered, but Satan keeps bringing them up to us and say, oh, God doesn't love you. You know what you did? Yeah, I know what I did, but it's covered under the blood of Jesus Christ. I may know it, but Jesus has forgiven me for it. Amen. If you're thankful for that, go ahead and put your hands together for Jesus Christ. He knows our past, and He forgives our past. David said, oh, I wish I could just fly away. Wish I could just get rid of all of this stuff. But then he realized, you know, as for me, there was a mindset change right there. Now, when you finally realize that you can go on to be victorious over this battle, whatever the battle is, you know, again, if it's a battle in your life, it's a big battle. You know, we don't like to somebody come up and say, oh, you're just worrying about something that ain't that. No, we don't want to hear that, because it's big to us. It may not be big to them. But you know, people are so encouraged to say, "Oh, just give it to the Lord, get over it." Well, that's easy for them to say because they're not fighting your battle. And I'm not discounting the fact that we're in a battle, but what I want to encourage you is with, I want the Lord to give you peace in that battle. But David said, "Peace from that battle." We already know that God's going to deliver you from it. Maybe not in your time, but in His time. Amen. He has never lost a battle, and He's not going to lose a battle now. Amen. And that's what David finally realized. But here are the things that led up to this particular prayer that David prayed. First of all, he said, I mourn. Cry. Every day, tears flow, and I complain, and I mourn. That's the other thing, in my complaint, complaining. You know, get a habit. Get a habit of answering somebody by faith, not really by your feelings. If we answer by our feelings, then sometimes we actually cause that person to feel bad. How are you doing today? Oh, I'm having this awfulest day in the world. You know, and then that person is concerned. But you know what? By faith, I'm doing good. I serve a risen Savior. He let me get up this morning. I've still got breath in my lungs. Amen. I'm born again. I'm on my way to heaven. You know, it don't take near as long to tell them how good you're doing as it does to tell them how bad you're doing. Amen. Speak faith. Speak positivity. Amen. Speak, as David said, as for me, I'm going to call on the name of the Lord. And on evening, morning, and at noon. But there's some of the characteristics of his problem or of his battle. And maybe some of them apply to us, and maybe they don't. Maybe we mourn. Maybe we complain. Oppression. Somebody says, oh, how is the difference from oppression and depression? Oppression is the beginning of depression. That's just layman's term. Don't let oppression seep or get further down or more involved and become depressed or depression. Depression is a real thing. Is a very real thing. But you know what? We can get victory over that as well. We let things bother us. There's a little book. If you ever have a chance to get it, it's called Don't Sweat the Small Stuff. It's a little bitty thin book. The exact kind of books like I like to read. I like to read them in an hour and be done with it. Anything that thick, I give up. You know, I love to read them little short books, you know. But it'd be advantageous to you to pick up a copy of it, and it says, don't sweat the small stuff. We get so oppressed over little bitty things and upset about little bitty things that really not going to matter too much at the end of the day. Amen? It's not going to matter at all if we put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. So oppression, and then he says, and you know, and he knows what is coming from. He even names it. He said, it's the voice of the enemy. The voice of the enemy. Sometimes it's just a little whispering. Sometimes it's a loud, boisterous noise. Satan comes in so many different ways, in so many different guises, in so many different avenues, and from so many different directions. But that's the reason we have a shield of faith. Amen. We've talked about this. You know the armor. You're completely covered with armor. But you know the movable part of that armor is that shield. Why? Because if he comes from this way, you can move that shield over here. If he comes back, you move that shield here. You know he's going to come from any place he can that might be unguarded. But as long as you got that shield of faith, you're covered. Amen? Covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. And you know what? There's nothing wrong with reminding Satan that too. Satan, you can throw those fiery darts all you want to, but I got the shield of faith. Amen? And they're going to ward off all the fiery darts in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. So he said, it brings iniquity. It brings wrath. It brings heart aches, heart pain. And let me tell you, heartache is real. It's real. It may not be a cardiac arrest heart ache, but it may just be that heavy, heavy, heaviness that's in your heart that you can't seem to get victory over. And I will assure you, as much as we try to cover it, it will affect our worship. It will affect us when we're glorifying and trying to praise God. If our heart is breaking, or if we've got such a heartache or oppression or depression that we really, really can't serve the Lord and praise the Lord, we really, really need to. So David said, I'm in this situation. All of these things are applying to me. But thank God he gets victory before the end of the chapter. Amen. We need to get victory before the end of the chapter. Amen. What all we're facing, whatever it is, we know that we can get victory before the end of the chapter. Heartaches. And then he says, even terrors of death. There are people today that have such a phobia or a fear of death. They don't even want to go out. They don't want to participate in things because they're so fearful of death. Do you know how the best way to overcome your fears of death? Tell Satan, you know what? If you're going to kill me, you're just doing me a big favor because I'm going home with Jesus. And you know what? When you really believe that, that fear of death just kind of goes out the window. We're all going to face death. Amen. Whether it be through the grave or if the Lord comes and takes us and catches us away, we're going to be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. This old flesh is going to be put off. We're going to see a glorified body. We're all going to have to face that. This flesh that I'm trying to take care of so much, it's not going to inherit the kingdom of heaven, but that soul of man, my Lord in mercy, think of what we're going to receive when we get over there. And if you'll tell Satan that, tell the enemy that, he loses his ammunition. His main ammunition is to put fear on you and dread on you and agony and all of this depression and oppression. And it was working with David, a man after God's own heart. Not only that, terrors of death, but fearfulness and trembling. Really fearful and trembling of this particular burden that he was carrying. He doesn't tell you exactly, but he tells you all of the effects of it and the characteristics of it. And you know what? They may apply to some of the battles that we're facing right now. If not all, at least some of them may apply to what we're going through right now. So if he was able to get victory, if he was able to realize, you know what, as for me, I can't speak for anybody else. Can't speak for how you're going to handle your battle or what you're going to do. But as for me, I'm going to declare victory. I'm going to shout out to the Lord, and the Lord will deliver me. I'm going to pray as long as it takes. I'm going to pray as many times as it takes. Amen. Evening, noon, and night, whatever it takes. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to receive peace from the battle. And then finally, he said, horror overwhelms me. And he mentioned that last because this is when it gets really detrimental. Because if you're overwhelmed with it, then you're just absolutely consumed with the battle. Hopefully, no one here is at that point where we've just been overwhelmed with this particular battle or burden or situation or affliction or whatever the case may be. Because when it comes to that point, then, you know, we almost forget about the victory. We almost forget that we have victory in the Lord Jesus Christ, because all we're thinking about is the battle. All we're thinking about is the depression. All we're thinking about is death and agony and the pain and everything that's associated with this battle that we're fighting. And he said, horror overwhelms me. But thank goodness he came and he realized, you know what? He's been fighting a battle that's already been won. Glory to God. And many of us, I myself, have been fighting battles that have already been won. Amen. Because as we sung the song tonight, how appropriate. Victory in Jesus. Not victory in Eddie, not victory in FPC, but victory in Jesus. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ is our victor. He will be victorious over all of these battles, and he'll give us peace to withstand the battle. As we say so often, what he doesn't keep us from, he'll keep us through. Amen. If you thank the Lord tonight, amen, that he is one that we can constantly abide in, give him praise tonight. Amen. He won't leave you. And he won't forsake you. Amen. Don't be like David. Don't just say, I just want to fly away as a dove and be done with it. Because I will assure you, those old battles and problems will follow you around just like a shadow until you get victory over it. Sometimes you just got to turn around and say, get thee behind me, Satan. I rebuke you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you. Would you stand tonight? I love you from the depths of my heart. Appreciate each and every one of you. Before we dismiss, if you need a prayer tonight or if you are having a situation, please come forward. We'll pray with you. We'll pray for you. I know we've prayed for those who are in need of prayer, but maybe you have a situation. Never want to dismiss a service without giving you an opportunity to come to the floor of the Lord in prayer. Amen. Is there anyone tonight? Amen. God bless you. We love you. I pray that if anybody here is in a battle, just remember that God will give you peace. Brother Jim, come if you would. Dismiss us with a word of prayer. Got a little surprise, maybe, if it comes to fruition. I was approached by a young man who said that he wanted to preach a message. And so we're working on that, maybe getting a time and an opportunity for Trey to bring a message. He's told me just a little bit about what God has laid on his heart, and I was pretty shocked, really, about what the Lord had laid on his heart. But maybe you just pray if he gets up here and gets an opportunity. I told him maybe we could do a Wednesday night service and let the young people come up. But I want to encourage him. Amen. Don't want to discourage him. So I think maybe if he gets up enough nerve, he might have a good word for us.
Praise the Lord. Amen. God is great, isn't he? Yes, he is, all the time. Yes, amen. Well, all hearts and minds clear? All righty. Well, we're just going to go ahead and then get ready and just pray a prayer of dismissal. Just be in much prayer for all the prayer requests going out, all the text blacks. And I know there's a lot of activities going forward, so let's continue to put the Lord first, and that's for me too. Put the Lord first in all that we do and all that we are, just like the wonderful message tonight. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for your word, dear Lord. Thank you for the opportunity you've given us to pull up to your table and feast on your word tonight, dear Lord. Lord, we just praise you and we honor you, dear Lord. May we put each and every situation in our life into your mighty hands, dear Lord, and leave it there, dear Lord, and have our faith in you and that know that you are our victory. Lord, that you're everything that we are, Jesus, and we just love and praise you. Again, thank you for those in attendance tonight, whether they're here in the teen class or with the young ones in their Bible study tonight. Lord, we just thank you for all the opportunities we have to be close to our brothers and sisters in Christ that you've given us. Lord, we give you all the honor and all the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen, amen. Have a wonderful, wonderful rest of the week. Don't forget Sunday school Sunday morning.